30-minute reviews, beware of spoilers, and exploring hyperspace lanes are all available ad-free. But if you want to support the show, you can go to bewareofspoilers.com and click the support button that's available on the Spotify website. Thank you. Good morning and welcome to Beware of Spoilers. I am Adam with another rainy and cold day in April. It's fucking 37 degrees out. It's been rainy all week. It's just dismal weather. And the only reason it's really bad is I don't mind the rain. I mind the rain when I have to work. I like using the rain to work on my other stuff. Because then I'm more productive when it's raining. But at work, it just doesn't feel quite right. But regardless, good morning. So, we're here today to talk about... Well, let me give a quick update, because I realize I haven't given an update on this in a while. And I feel like I probably should, because I announced it on the show. So, I announced probably about a year ago, Prelude, which is a short film that I was going to work on. I wrote the script, and I was getting ready to put it into production and all of that, and then we had the budget issue. The Prelude Part 1, as it was originally written, has 5 roles, so you gotta pay 5 actors. It had, what's it called? It had an actual location where it was gonna be shot, that was, you had to pay to rent the space, because it would have been, like... It was meant to be a support group, so I think we were gonna. I was gonna go with a church basement or a VFW, but whatever. I mean, either way, it would have cost money to rent that space. So it's one of the things where like I'm looking at it and I'm like, how can we trim this budget? And I was like, well, if we eliminate some of the characters, we would eliminate the what it was about this that made it, made it different, which, it's like, at that point, why are we, why are we bothering to make it if we're gonna be doing this so differently? Like, at that point, just, we'll just do, something, totally, why bother to do that story at all, is what I mean to say. Sorry, the roads are flooded, so it's a little bit weird going on here. So that's kind of where I was with that. Like, how do I do this story, like, while maintaining what the story is meant to be? And Prelude was always meant to be part of a larger thing. Prelude was always meant to be part of a, what's it called? Part of a, an anthology. Like, it was meant to be one of 8 parts of an anthology feature. Where it was like, there was that, there was one where, we follow, 2 heroes as they're going out on their regular nightly patrol, it's like, things like that. So, and all, like, day-to-day mundanity of being a vigilante or a superhero is kind of what it is. It's called Prelude because it's the day before a big event, like, the big event that we normally watch, like, what happens the day before, like, Thanos comes to Earth, kind of thing. So, rather than adjust that, the idea I had was, we're going to switch it up. We're not going to do part 1, we're going to do part 2. Now, the plan was to have part 2 shot last year. But, I didn't want to mess with the strikes. I didn't know what the what the rules were governing using SAG actors on an indie short. I didn't know what the, or even a micro, this would have been a micro budget, because the budget's like $1,000. But regardless, I didn't want to mess with, the potential of other actors to work on a short film that, there was mixed thoughts about even the interim agreements. the idea of like, oh well, should SAG be getting the interim giving the interim agreements? And it's like, you know, the issue was that like if a movie was shot under the interim agreement, then if a studio bought the movie, they had to adhere to whatever the new deal was. Like, it's things like that where I was like, I don't want to wade into this and potentially harm one of the actors' earning potential going forward. Because I don't want to be like, oh, well, you starred in this little movie you got paid $100 to appear in. Like, now we're not going to hire you for anything. So, all of that is to say, hopefully this summer, we will actually shoot Prelude. This one is 9 minutes instead of 20, which is good. It makes it a little bit easier, too. I've run around, it's like, the shorter it is, the easier it is to program at festivals. And the general plan is we're going to shoot it. We're going to, you know, I'll edit it myself because I do have the video editing background. I've shot before. I've shot two short documentaries as a student, not for anything major. And so we'll see. This is going to be a lot more dynamic than that, though, because the documentaries were a lot more, just what's the B-roll we're doing with pictures and video and stuff like that, what's the B-roll, and then what is the, you know, what is the, what's the other part, the, you know, just, it's a static camera that's not moving or anything. So regardless, you know, this'll, like, we're not doing anything major, it's two people talking in a park, so you don't have to pay for anything besides the actresses, and then we also have to pay for the, what's it called, like, food and stuff, but regardless, like, that's where we are on that now. For anyone who was looking for an update on Prelude, that's where we are. So, I'm thinking a June-July shoot, that way we can edit it as needed and get everything kind of handled by the time it, you know, it's time to submit for 2025 festivals, but next year is going to be the year we're going to tour it, I think. I think we've got a lock now on when this is going to happen. I got to look at the schedule to see where it could fit into shoot, because I would do this on the weekend, and then I got to, you know, find people, but yes, this is, you know, we will be doing this, you know, this year. But yeah, so let's move on to the Bad Batch, which is what people are here to listen to, not me talk about my individual projects. So, we continue to have my issue over these most recent two episodes. Really, just the first one has the issue. I think the second one we've kind of cleared up at this point. The first episode is the one where we continue to have this issue. We are, you know, it's an episode designed to explain what the audience already knows. And, again, we've talked about this. We know what an M-Count is. We know what Project Necromancer is. Because Project Necromancer was introduced twice already. Because we had the final result of Project Necromancer in The Rise of Skywalker, which is a movie, and I would assume most people who are watching this have watched Rise of Skywalker. I would say you could probably assume 95% of people who are watching The Bad Batch Season 3 have watched The Rise of Skywalker. I think that's a safe bet. And then also there is The Mandalorian, which introduced Project Necromancer, being headed up by Hux Sr., which was being worked on by, you know, when they have the Shadow Council meeting with Gideon, and they talk about, where's Thrawn? We need Thrawn back. And, so that's where we are on this. So, the point of all this is, why are we still acting like this is a secret? Like, this is a big reveal. Like, oh, they're trying to figure out how to keep the midichlorian count of Force-sensitive people when they clone them. And it's like, all right, I get it. Like, I get what you're going for here. Like, I understand what the point of this is. I think most people watching know what the point of this is, too. We don't need to, you know, have this be as articulated as it is. Like, and to this degree. It makes a lot of the season feel almost, I hate using the word filler, but I think here it fits because you're filling time, creating a mystery the audience knows the answer to. And not in a, like, oh, here's a, you know, here's how Perry Mason, solves the murder that we watch in the first act. Or, like, even Columbo, I think, would show you the murder in the first act and who did it and all that, and then you'd watch him figure out who did it. And that's what the show is. You're watching Columbo figure out who did it. That's not what this is, because they're treating this like it's a mystery that they're withholding from the audience, too. They're treating this like something that, like, me, the viewer, am not, like, I, the viewer, am not, like, three or four steps ahead of you on this. And it's like, I know. I know what we're doing here. Like, can we just get to the part where everyone knows this? Like, it's just kind of silly to sink as much as I do into it. And that's kind of an interesting, you know, not interesting, it's kind of just a shitty way to handle it. Like, because then you end up where it's like, all right, like, look, this episode where we're seeing the Empire do stuff, like, I'm always a fan when they show the inner workings of the Empire. I loved it in Andor. I love it here. Like, show me what the Empire is doing and what their nefarious plan is. I will show up for it every time. But you're making it difficult when I'm watching a show where they're doing this in such a way that even the people there are playing the pronoun game, like, and not in the weird, like, you know, way that has been co-opted by fucking conservatives. The pronoun game being using pronouns, so the only people who don't know what's going on is the audience. Because there's no way a normal person talks like this, unless they're just trying to keep a secret from the audience. Like, it's one of my biggest pet peeves in television, and in movies in general, is playing this game where it's like, okay, well, who are we talking about? Well, they're intentionally obfuscating it, so that way it becomes a mystery, and it's like, just don't do that, because no one talks like this in a situation where they aren't being spied on. If it's a situation where just the two of them talking, there's no fucking reason why they're acting like this. Like, up until here, where they do finally reveal what the end count is. The second episode, feels like we're ramping up to the finale. Ship has been destroyed. Wrecker is unconscious. Like, Omega's been captured. It's, you know, we're going back to Tantus. Like, great. It seems like the plan is to go to Tantus and you know, take the battle to them. Which, like, alright. But the issue is, again, we know that, you know, the Emperor succeeds in this plan. We know that the end result of Project Necromancer, the planned end result, the clone of the Emperor that can still use the Force, is a success. We know this already, because we've seen The Rise of Skywalker. We know this already. And we know this is like, the same project. This project doesn't get destroyed here. Maybe it moves. But this sets it back a few years. But it's not a tremendous setback, because they still figure it out. Because Project Necromancer is still on track when you get to, you know, Mandalorian era. Like, it is one of those things where I'm watching this and I'm like, it's just a little weird. And I don't think that that's, you know, like, I don't think they're handling this well. And again, I reiterate, I think if this show ends up, you know, ending with them with a victory on Tantus, that's not a satisfying ending for this show. Because I've been saying it since the beginning. This show has to end with the, you know, with the death of Clone Force 99. Clone Force 99 cannot survive this season for it to be a satisfying end for these characters. Because then it's just like, oh, so they just continued having adventures? Like, they just, we're just not going to show you that, but they kept doing shit. They kept fighting the Empire. And it's never referenced again by anyone. Like, it's just kind of a little weird if they go to Tantus and are successful. I think Omega has to... I think what the clearest end for this would be Omega goes back, and rather than leave Tantus, she stays to keep the humanity. Or she escapes Tantus, but they've got the binding agent that they need her for, so it doesn't matter anyway. But I don't think the team survives. I don't think the team lives through the finale. And that is... That has to be the best way to handle this show. But we'll wrap up there for tonight. And we'll see how that plays out going into the next few weeks. Our next episode will be tonight, where we do Wicked Little Letters, the new movie with Jesse Buckley and Olivia Colman, about this fiery Irish girl, according to the description, who moves to a quiet England town and causes problems. Which, alright, we'll see that. Tomorrow we'll be doing Monkey Man, the new Dev Patel action movie. Tomorrow morning we'll be doing, what's that thing called? X-Men 97, and then Saturday morning, as always, we will be doing, what's it called? The Girls of My Bus, that's what it was called. What else have we got? I thought there was more that I wanted to address. Can't for the life of me remember. We are going to be seeing two movies early in the near future. The Fall Guy, and we're going to be doing Kingdom of Planet of the Apes. Both early screenings. If you want to hear my thoughts on Stardew Valley 1.6, head on over to the Backlog Files. I did an episode about that, where I talk about how great 1.6 of Stardew Valley is, and how I think this should be a standard for games going forward, and not the current way the market works. Yeah, I think this is a good place to live off. So until our next episode, have a great rest of your week.